Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. What was the last excuse that you used not to go to church that whole week? Now, if it's because you were sick, maybe your leg was broken or your hip was replaced and you needed to be laid up, those are understandable things. Was it that you had just gotten married? Was it that you had just bought a piece of land and you needed to go check it out? Was it the Packers played at 9 a.m. because they were playing in London? Give consideration to what your last excuse was. If you are traveling, I encourage you that as a part of your travel, you look to see which churches are in that area and prepare for that Sunday morning. Now, I understand that I see most of your faces every single week. And so this morning, I'm not going to harp on you. I give thanks to God that you come here every single week. The Holy Spirit has worked a new heart in you. Your desire, your hunger, your thirst is for the Word and for the gifts that He gives. If it is not a legitimate excuse, I want you to try next time saying it out loud to God. God, I just don't think you understand. I had a really hard work week this week, and I didn't sleep as much as I should have. I spent until 2 a.m. playing video games and drinking beer. God, you just have to understand, I have other things I need to do. When you say that out loud to Him, you're going to recognize just how silly of an excuse that truly is. Our bridegroom calls us. He calls us to His wedding feast. Thanks be to God. Give consideration that now is the day to attend to it. Now is the day to come. He calls week after week after week. Yes, you have the old sinful Adam that doesn't want to do God's will. But more importantly, you also have been born again. You have the Holy Spirit that washed over you in the blood of the Lamb in your baptism. You are a new creation. That heart of stone has been replaced with a heart of flesh. And that fleshly heart yearns to follow Him. Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, is just a foretaste, a foreshadowing of the feast that will never end. And thanks be to God, He has called us here today to receive it. Through this supper, we receive the forgiveness of sins. And if Christians truly understood that, if, and more importantly, they truly believed that, then a Sunday would not go by unless there were some serious circumstances that would keep them away otherwise, that they would not strive to gather around it. Your Lord, the King over all creation, decided to be in Waterford this morning, just as He is in churches throughout the world. And He has decided that in this plain bread and wine, He, by the power of His word, would join Himself to it. That when we receive this bread and wine, we are not receiving just plain bread and wine. No, it has transformed into a bread and wine that also gives us the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The body that He gave on the cross. The blood that was poured out for our sins. And in this foretaste, He feeds us. He nourishes us. Yes, all people that truly believe in the supper would not miss for anything. If over the years you have allowed your life or your week or a sports schedule to get in your way, now is the time to repent. Now is the time to repent, because the day will come when that door will be closed. The bridegroom calls day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute, second after second. He calls you. Be in my word. Believe me. Trust in me. It does not surprise me at this point in my life that the majority of Waterford is not here on Sunday morning. Many of them have outright rejected the good news of Jesus Christ. So it shouldn't really surprise me that they do not avail themselves to the supper, to the house that the Lord has provided. But for the Christian, for the one who says, I believe in Jesus, I believe that Jesus died for my sin, I don't need church, I don't need the Lord's Supper, our Lord bids us to come. Jesus himself commanded of his supper, do this as often as you drink it. Our Lord, already from the law giving to Moses, said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, or as our Orthodox Lutheran father said, sanctify the holy day. Sunday is the day that our Lord had set apart, not from the beginning, for that was Saturday, but from our Lord's resurrection over sin, death, and the grave. And now we come out of joy. Tell me another place in this world that you get to go to, where you get to sing together as a group about what your God has done for you, where you get to gather around bread and wine, that you receive the body and blood of the King of the universe. This is the place. For God is in his holy tabernacle. He dwells among us, and he bestows upon us his grace. So no, it is not a huge surprise to me that non-Christians throughout the world do not gather to worship. When we give consideration to what the evangelist and epistle writer, disciple of our Lord and beloved by him, St. John, writes in his first epistle, do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. This is still really hard for us to understand. It is so hard for us as American Christians to understand that the society might not like us. And I get it. If you lived during a time when your culture actually supported the church, when your culture shut everything down on Sundays, when you were encouraged by the President of the United States to go to a Christian church on Sunday, I get why this is so difficult for you to see. But for the young person, for the person who only knows, again, of the Lord's chicken being closed on Sunday, or Hobby Lobby, or car dealerships, they don't remember those days, because those days were taken before they were born. Some of you remember a code in Hollywood or on television where people, even married, could not be seen in the same bed, where people could not take the Lord's name in vain, where God's name could not be blasphemed, where the good had to triumph over the bad through every movie, through every storyline. And you remember when Father knew best. You remember when you could leave it to Beaver. You remember these things. They promoted the family. They promoted strong fathers, godly fathers, and godly mothers. Try watching that on any show today. Dad is almost some sort of bumbling idiot. He knows nothing. Mom maybe knows half of it, and everybody is constantly hooking up. Sadly, the world that you grew up in is not the world that they've ever seen. They've never known it. It was robbed. It was taken. And so for the most part, all they know is a society that is hostile to biblical Christianity, to a society that mocks them for believing that God created them male and female, that God created marriage, that God created life beginning from conception, that John could leap in the womb of his mother at the presence of newly conceived baby Jesus. They are mocked if they hold to those things. We need to come around them. We need to encourage them. We need to remind them that they are not crazy, that they are not hate-filled by simply believing God's word. Because that's what we do. We believe God's word. We hold to it, even if the society does not. Do not marvel if the world hates you. It hated Jesus first. It crucified the Lord of all creation. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Think about the effect of that first sin. God had commanded Adam, "You may eat of all the trees of the garden except for the one that is in the midst of it, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from the fruit of that tree, on that day you shall surely die." Adam, as a faithful pastor, at least in the beginning, preached that to his wife, Eve, the mother of all living, as he named her. He said, "God has proclaimed we can eat of all the fruit of the trees of the garden except for this one. And he told me that if we eat this one, we will die." But what does the devil do? The devil comes and twists God's word. And he goes to the woman, the weaker vessel, and he says, "Did God really say? Did God really say you should go to church? Did God really say you should receive the sacrament? Did God really tell you that he would be with you?" Of course, reading God's word, you know all of those are true. And so the serpent causes doubt in Eve as he causes doubt in so many people throughout the world. And she begins to wonder. "Hey, this fruit actually looks pretty good. Hey, my bed on Sunday morning actually looks pretty good. Hey, it's exciting that the game's on at 9 a.m. Are we going to follow the world? Or are we going to follow the one who overcomes the world? Eve took the fruit. She ate it. She usurped that authority from her husband. And then he submitted to her, and he ate, and death enters the world. Now, they wouldn't see it immediately, but already at that point, their bodies began to be tinged with that sin. Eve was so hopeful when they received the promise that the promised Messiah, the seed, the one that would bruise the head of the devil, would come. And with her firstborn son, she says, "I have gotten. I have gotten the man from the Lord." Martin Luther believed that she thoroughly thought that this one would save them. And they named him Cain. When Abel was born, he was almost an afterthought in their minds. So much did they focus on Cain. And Cain rejected. Yes, Cain went through the motions. Cain provided a sacrifice. But Cain did not believe. And when he saw his brother being accepted by the Lord, his sacrifice, being joyed by the Lord. What did Cain do? The one that they thought might be the Savior rose up and took the first life. Abel's blood cried in that ground. The same ground, not identically the same ground, but the dirt with which God had brought forth and formed Adam. Death is a result of sin. Cain despised the word of God. And when he saw someone rejoicing in God, and God rejoicing in them, what did he do? He killed him. What did the Cainites, that is the descendants of Cain, do? They rose up to harm the sons of God. The unbelieving world despises you because God delights in you. The unbelieving world despises you as it despises Jesus because it follows the devil, who despises all of these things, who rages against his punishment for his own deeds. You are now called to love. Just as we heard last week, we love him because he first loved us. And because he loves us and we love him, we may actually love others. We are now alive. Jesus Christ was put to death because the world hated him, because the devil wanted to destroy him. But Jesus rose from the dead. He passed from death to life. And now all of us share in that. He has given us his blood. He has given us his sonship. We are made heirs of all of these treasures. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. St. John continues in the vein of what we heard from the parable last week of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had been given so many wonderful things by God, and yet when God laid that poor man Lazarus at his gates, he found him to be repugnant. He amassed more wealth for himself rather than using the good stewardship of what God had given him to help his neighbor in need. In essence, he hated Lazarus. But Lazarus, in his death, was ushered to Abraham's bosom, to heaven, to be with Jesus for all of eternity. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What a joy it is to have people at this church who sign up to help widows that might have something that they need. What a joy it is for people of this church to focus on providing food for the needy in our community, to partner even with a Roman Catholic church to provide food for the needy. What a joy that is to not just pay lip service to helping those in need, but to actually doing it. We don't do it to be saved. We do it because we are saved. We love him because he first loved us. And because he loves us, that love flows to our neighbor. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The church sings, "The bridegroom soon will call us, come to the wedding feast. May slumber not befall us, nor watchfulness decrease. May all our lamps be burning with oil enough and more, that we with him returning may find an open door. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.